Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you so much for all that you have done in 2025 and all that you will do in 2026. And I just ask you to give us ears to hear today, and that you would anoint me to preach in such a way, God, that we would receive seeds today in our hearts that will bring forth fruit, not just in the new year, but throughout the rest of our lives. Your word is always true, and there is no error. May you be glorified by today. In Jesus' name, amen. So, 2025 is always going to be a special year for me, you guys, because it's the year you voted me in as your pastor. So, you know, I was praying this morning, just, you know, going, wow, you know, God, you're pretty amazing. And, you know, I have, you know, as I've been praying and thinking about the church in 2026, and I get excited. And what the Lord keeps putting on my heart is growth. And when I say that, I don't even mean numbers. Even though I would love it if this place was packed all the time, because it would be people hearing the word of God. What I feel like God is putting on my heart is that the people that call his place his home this year, 2026, is going to be a year of growth for us, growing deeper into the word of God, growing deeper in our just our relationships here at the church, and definitely growing deeper in Christ and just the revelation of who we are in him. But that's my vision for 2026, is it's going deeper together and becoming more and more like a family. Even though I feel like you guys are family already, it's what the Lord's put on my heart. Amen. So we're back in Ephesians, and what better way to finish out 2025 than to talk about unity and maturity in Christ. As we make new commitments this year to losing weight, exercising more, saving money, and finally cleaning the garage, right? Let us not forget how important our spiritual disciplines are. These should be at the top of the list, really. So, how's our prayer life? You know, if you think about your prayer life, and I'm bringing this up to challenge us and push us, and so we go into 2026 intentionally. You know, how is your prayer life? Do you pray a lot? You don't pray at all? You know, I just want to challenge us this year to pray often. And it's a beautiful thing to have a place that you call your prayer closet. It doesn't have to be in the closet. It just needs to be a space where you go. And like, that's your initial place that you meet with God, in your backyard. I like to go in my backyard and just kind of look up at the sky and pray, because it's beautiful, you know. You see birds fly by. Sometimes I sit in my living room and I just look out the window. You know, there's parked cars in my neighborhood, but I just sit there with God on my couch and I meditate and I pray. But also, look, you can pray in your car, driving to work, you know, in the office, at the gym. You know, any time you begin to think about God or the scriptures or the church, I would encourage you to just start praying, Lord, I just thank you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for choosing me and to be in your family, to understand your word, that you would die for me the way I was and then change my heart and make me who I am today. And the fact that you're not done with me yet, Lord, thank you. You know, and then begin to pray for other people and pray for the church, pray for me. But getting prayer to be a normal part of life, I think is essential for our own spiritual health. Then how about the study of God's word? You know, that's a spiritual discipline that I pretty much hammer on every week. And it's only because the more that you know and understand, the more that it goes from here to here, the more freedom you will experience. I know the more that you will be healed from your past, the more that you'll be delivered from yourself. You know, the more study that I do in the word, the more, you know, I realize that no matter how crazy the world gets, and it's getting crazy, God never changes. His kids, as his kids, we have promises in the word of God. And that's where we plant our flag, is that we win because we get to spend eternity with the Father. It doesn't matter who's in control here on the earth. If we're all slaves to a robot army someday, our purpose and our mission is the same. It's the same. Whether we're free or slave, it is the same. So we read and we study. Here's another good one too. You are an authentic creation of God's. And when we study the word and we have the word, it's gone from the head to the heart. In time, at that right time, God will put somebody in your path that needs to hear the good news, needs to hear a word. And you'll have scripture on your heart. And you might, you know, paraphrase it, right? You don't know it word for word. I know it's hard to memorize things. I don't know where any of the addresses are for sure. But I can, you know, at the right time, at the right place, the word of God begins to flow out of your mouth because it's in your heart. And that's why we study. It's not a religious duty. It's just for one, our healing, our empowerment. And then it's to share, right? To heal others, to empower others through that authentically. How about church attendance? You know, some of you come all the time, praise God. So, you know, some of you are like, I'm like a once a month kind of person. You know, the Bible's clear that we're not to forsake the gathering of the brethren, right? Because this is the place where we really learn. You know, we get to execute the things that we learn in the Bible about how to treat each other, how to become unafraid to trust and open ourselves up to be vulnerable, you know, and that spills out into our lives. But it's so good for us to come here, get together, you know, do life together, learn the word together, talk about it together, pray for each other. And that's why we offer so many things here. The Bible studies, the discipleship class for the men and the women. You know, there's ways that we have provided to go deeper and connect the small groups. Because we know that relationships are really what keep us here. You know what I'm saying? Like, cause who's got time to go to a self-help group right now, you know, and feel better about yourself? If there's gotta be connection, Right? Connection keeps us around. Connection builds trust. And so I want to encourage you that if you've been on the fringes of church, you know, that this year, 2026, you'd make a commitment to get plugged in. Get plugged in somewhere and begin to grow with us. We're not perfect, but we're pretty honest about that. Amen, right? We love Jesus, and he is perfect. And we do our very best to represent him well, to shine his light the best we can. And how about this? The hardest one. Sowing financially. How's that going? You know, I don't do a lot of preaching about that up here because I get it, you know, but I'm not after your money. The reason why I challenge us going into 2026 to begin to financially pitch in to this community is because we don't have sponsors, guys. We don't have Budweiser banners up here, you know, we're not getting a kickback. Okay, this is our community. And we sow in together. I contribute as well. And so I say that because there's a couple of things. Our motto here is not you must give 10%. Okay. Our motto here is give what you can with faith and joy. God will do the rest, but I want to end it by saying this. Because it took me a long time to get to 10%. But I will tell you this. The more you give, the more God fills your cup. The more you spill your cup, the more it gets filled. This I know from experience. I've been a Christian for 20 years. And let me tell you, probably 10, 15 years of that was like holding on to my wallet and trying, you know, I trust you with everything but my finances. So I get it, but I want to share this with you to let you know from experience that the more that I give, the more I have. It's bizarre, but that's the way it is in God's kingdom. The more generous I am, the more he fills my cup. He fills us to spill us, right? If I get filled and I hold on to it, it turns green. It gets moldy. It's a spiritual truth, but it also spills over into the natural. You know, it's better to give than receive. It really, really is. So that's enough of that. I think I got you with that, right? Just challenge yourself this year to trust God. Trust God with your finances. He knows. He knows. Amen? All right. And how about do you have a commitment to serving in God's house? I mean, serving here is awesome, man. And if you want to get plugged in, if you want to, you know, 2026, I'm really going to walk out my faith. Just serve anywhere here doing anything, you know. It's an honor to serve in God's house, and it will get you out of yourself. It's setting yourself up to serve others, and that's not a bad thing. So we have plenty of spots to serve around here. Feel free to see me or Jim or Sandy or any of the other pastors here, Barb, and we'll get you pointed in the right direction for sure. Pray about these things and then let God lead you. So again, we're in Ephesians, and I'll give you a little bit of backstory because we're picking up where we left off before Christmas in chapter 4. So I'll give you a little rundown. When Paul wrote this letter, he was on house arrest in Rome, awaiting trial for preaching the gospel. Instead of hard timing and whining about it, Paul locked into his calling, encouraging the church. He wrote the letters Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon while incarcerated. Throughout his letter to the church in Ephesus and the surrounding churches in Asia Minor, Paul refers to himself as a prisoner of Christ Jesus, not a prisoner of Rome. Paul's circumstances did not quench his faith in the risen Savior and the promises of the gospel. Chapters 1 through 3 line out our spiritual wealth, while chapters 4 through 6 line out our spiritual walk, from doctrine to duty. In chapter 1, Paul speaks of the spiritual blessings in Christ and how we should pray with thanksgiving for receiving them. In chapter 2, Paul speaks of being spiritually dead, but being made spiritually alive by grace through faith in Christ alone. And how there is no difference in Christ between Jew and Gentile, slave and free. All the same. Those in Christ are now one body, the church. No one is greater or less than each other. We serve each other equally. In chapter 3, Paul explains God's marvelous plan for us Gentiles, that we who were once outsiders to the things of God have been brought near. All revelation of the mystery of salvation is ours to know and cherish. God in his great wisdom and eternal purpose has made it plain to every believer the administration of this mystery. So today we pick back up in this magnificent epistle in chapter 4, like I said. And I think before we stopped, I preached the first four verses, but I'm going to just preach them again. Start in chapter 4 and we'll move on. A little refresher, if you will. I'm pretty sure y'all forgot what I preached on a month ago already. So it's all good, right? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. See, this is Paul, who literally had his own plan for life, man. He was like a big baller shot caller of the synagogue. He was on his way up and got on the road to Damascus, met with Jesus, had an experience with Jesus Christ, and literally forsake that old life to follow Christ. God had a call on his life. Jesus told him, I have a call on your life, Paul. And he forsook it all and began to walk with Christ. So he says to the church, I urge you to do the same, to live a life worthy of the call that's on your life. Live a life worthy of the salvation that you and I have been bestowed. Because none of us earned it, amen? I mean, if you think about how you were, what you were doing, you know, how you lived your life before Christ, and yet he saw through it all, right? He knows the end from the beginning, to touch and change your heart, to give you eyes to see God. And so Paul urges us to live a life worthy of that. And it's really a life of intentionality, like we've been talking about. And this is what it's so awesome about God, is that we just left off here and we pick it up here. And what better way to go into a new year than to be focused on intentionality of our spiritual maturity and our intimacy with God, to be focused on that this year. The Greek word for to live a life is peripateo. And it literally means to walk around and to conduct your life. Like everything that we do and everything that we say is either going to glorify God or not. And so to have that revelation of, you know, I don't just get to do life however I want anymore. I've made a commitment to God. You know, when I said, Jesus, I believe, you took my place on the cross and you died for me. You paid the price for my sin. And I believe by faith that you are the Messiah. Then what I have committed to by that belief is saying that I too shall die. Chris Jones now doesn't get to do life however Chris Jones wants, because I have traded that life for Jesus, for the resurrected life of Christ. And so there's where the tug, right, of God's sovereignty, and he knows everything and his will is active, but then my free will. You see, I have a choice of how I'm going to spend my time. I have a choice in what I'm going to say or not say. God allows us that. I have a choice on what I want to meditate on and what I don't. I have a choice about what these hands do. Are they going to do good or they do evil? We have that free will. So part of that is living intentionally. And we have to remember that the grace that we've been blessed with, it's not a thing, we didn't earn it. We didn't earn it. It makes that special. Like your calling on your life is special. God saw something in you that you never saw. Or you hadn't seen yet. But you're special, and the call on your life is special. And that your authentic faith in Jesus. And that's why I would never change the DNA of this church, because it's so awesome when you get to be yourself in Jesus. You don't gotta fake like you're holier than you really are. Amen? That's tough. I've done it. It's tiring. It's like, hey, you know what? I ain't got it all together. But I love God. I love Jesus. And you know what he promised? He was faithful to finish what he started in me. That's what I stand on, right? And my free will comes in by choosing to study the Word of God, choosing to position my life in things like Bible studies, I got blessed, man. You guys gave me a job, and my job is to study the Word and preach it to you. What a blessing. Week after week, I sit at my computer studying, going, I love this. It's never a burden. And it's like, oh my gosh, because I love the responsibility. You see what I mean? I position my life to where if I don't study next week, I'm going to be in trouble. I don't want to come up here and tell you my theories about things. I want to come up and speak the truth. You know, it's something that I've chewed on. But that's what I'm saying. It goes for all of us. Whether you're a preacher or not, I told you, there's people in your life. There's people at the office. There's people on the construction site. There's people at 7-Eleven that are going to need the love of Jesus. And so we study it and we learn it to understand it, because when we understand it, right, again, we're healed from our past. We realize my past doesn't dictate who I am. God says who I am. I am a child of God. I have promises in here that says that I can live a beyond my own means. Because for me to be able to forgive, for me to be able to be patient, to be kind, to be generous, is supernatural. Amen? Yeah, because that is satanically selfish person. Goes to being a godly person, you know, not a perfect person, but a person who has had revelation of, oh, you're in control. You own it all. So let it flow through my fingers. I'll be a good steward, but let it flow through my fingers. Let me be a vessel for you, God. And when we have that mindset, our whole life changes. No longer are we going to be afraid of lack or be greedy. That's a bondage. All right, let's go to verse 2. Because he lists now that life that's worthy of the call. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Now I'm going to read you all the Greek words and the definitions for these words because it opens up, it'll open your mind to what Paul is really saying. That word for completely is metapos. And it means wholeheartedly, like be not a little humble and a little gentle and a little patient, but be completely like you've made a decision in your mind. Are you going to do it perfect? Probably not. But it's a mindset, a lifestyle. I have been called by God. If he be for me, who can be against me? Therefore, there's no reason for me to be haughty, to be proud, to go, look at me. Because everything I've been given is by grace. The wisdom that I carry today is from him. And it's only because I've made one good decision, and that's to read and understand the truth. And it's changed. It changes our lives. So completely, so wholeheartedly, you're going into 2026 and you're like, man, I'm going to be humble. And that word for humble is super easy. Let's see what that, oh yeah. Tapping a frozen A. I don't know how you say it, but it doesn't matter. Look. Modest humility, modest. There is no pride. Just be completely modest and humble. That's a good place to be. Then he says gentle, proutus, and it's meekness, right? It's power under control. Gentleness is not being a doormat. Gentleness is power under control. It means that I could, you know, somebody gets sideways with you, you absolutely have the power to get sideways with them, but you control it. You will not give up your peace because nobody can take your peace from you. You got to give it away. That's a gift from God is peace, right? We have to give that away. When somebody begins to, you can tell, there goes my peace. I'm struggling with keeping my peace. Check yourself. That's the time to check you. Why? Why is this person, you know, driving me nuts? Why am I about to, you know, cuss them out and lose, you know, just totally ruin my testimony, whatever, right? Why am I getting there? Because it's what's going on with you. That's when we stop and we pause. We don't jump in and act like the world anymore. We don't have to. Now, there's no condemnation if you slip and fall. Amen. We're sinners. I get it. Nobody's asking you to live a perfect life. Jesus did it for you. And he paid the price for your mistakes. But there is victory in obedience. There just is. So we have to take that seriously. Be completely humble and gentle. Patient. Macrothumia. That's internal and external control in a difficult circumstance. That's what this version of patience means. And I know that's pretty standard, but I wanted you to, it just ministered to me when I saw this description, this definition. It's not just external, which is good. Like, yeah, you know, if you're losing it on the inside, it's best that you don't let it get outside. But true patience is when you're calm on the inside too. This is a fruit of the Spirit, which I will read. But that means it is ours. It's a supernatural gift to have no matter what circumstance you're in, no matter how crazy the person that you're dealing with is. You have the ability to have peace, to be patient. And when we're not, we need to check us instead of going, well, they, right? The temptation is to go, well, they, if they just shut up, I'd be fine, right? It's tempting, but it's what's going on with me. They're just being them. They don't control my God-given fruit. Amen? So, and then this last one, bearing with one another in love. Bearing with is anekomai, and it literally means to put up with each other. To put up with. In love, we put up with each other's character defects. When somebody gets crazy, or they're hungry, angry, lonely, tired, we give them grace. Listen, that doesn't mean we're doormats, right? We got boundaries, hallelujah. Just execute them in love. That is bearing with one another. Hey, I get it. You're upset. Let's take it down a notch, right? Or, you know, I'm not going to let you talk to me like that. Let's take a break. Maybe we can come back to this when you're able to talk instead of scream or cuss. I'm not going to allow this going down. You know? Right? You think it's funny, huh? It's true. So the fruit of the Spirit is this. Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are your promises. Remember that. And this, none of these are affected by circumstance, by people, places, and things, unless you allow it to. Because if you are able to operate in the fruit, there is no law against it. Meaning, you have not sinned in any way, shape, or form. Meaning, there is nothing to apologize for. Meaning, that you're letting God do the work. And you will reap what you sow. So that's why, how about we take a look at these? It's Galatians 5:22-23, if you're taking notes, and take a look at this and see where maybe you need some work. Which one of these, do you need work on? And then work on it. Pray about it. Seek God in that and practice. Because that's where the rubber meets the road, right? When you have to actually do it, that's when it matters. And I know that it's easier said than done, but it's still a requirement as a child of God, as Christ followers, to back up our testimony that we follow the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who was on the cross and endured all that humiliation and all of that pain. And all he said was, God, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Like, he really saw past our evil and he forgave us and he loves us, so we can do the same. Verse 3. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. So we need to fight for unity, not each other. Right? And how do we do that? The bond of peace. And I didn't write this down, but that word for bond is like, it's got to do with another word called sinew. And it's the way your muscles are bonded to your bones. The bond of peace that we keep, like we keep that mindset of peace. However I'm going to deal with this, I'm going to do it in a way that can be received. I'm going to do this in a way that I'm not going to sin, even if I get sinned against. I will make every effort to keep unity of the Spirit, capital S, the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in Matthew on the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are the people that make peace. Not division, not war, but people that actually can go into a volatile situation wanting to make peace. Blessed are you, for you will be called the children of God. Literally, your testimony will preach itself by your actions in that way. Ephesians chapter 4, 4 through 6. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So Paul is laying out the fundamentals of the faith here. So we are to keep unity with each other in the Spirit without compromising truth. Okay? So if somebody comes to you and says that Jesus isn't God, I'm not telling you to lay him out. I'm just saying you don't say, well, I don't want to fight about that, so okay. You don't roll over, because all roads don't lead to God. This is where you stand in your faith, the non-negotiables. One body, one Spirit. There's no difference between Jew and Gentile in Christ. Everybody needs Christ. And you were called to one hope when you were called. That is hope with God, eternal life through Christ Jesus. And one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. And everything that's ever been made was made through him and for him. You know, so Jesus is the only way to the Father. That's what he said. He told us. Not to threaten us, but to give us direction on how to make it to eternal life with God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He also said, many will try to jump in the sheep pen from the side or the back. They are thieves and robbers. You have to go through the gate. I am the gate. The universe is not in control of your circumstances. The universe is a created being or entity for that God created. So it's not the universe that's controlling your circumstances. It's God. We didn't evolve from monkeys or primordial ooze. That is, we were created by God. You see what I mean? Like, when people come at you with this stuff, it's like, don't get crazy with them and start yelling at them, but also like, no. Like, I think it takes more faith thinking that we come from primordial ooze than it does from a creator. Right? I mean, look at the human eyeball. That came from ooze or a big bang. Everything happened out of nothing? No, I don't think so. There's one creator and we're his creation. In Colossians 1, verse 16, it says, "For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him." So here's the thing. We major on the majors, right? Christ was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life in thought, word, and deed. He taught the word of God like no one ever taught before. He was a substitute on the cross because sin, there had to be a punishment for sin. He took it upon himself to be punished in our place. And because there was no sin in him, he raised from the dead. And he ascended to the right hand of the Father, where he's praying for us today, and he will return. He will return to rule and reign. Anything above and beyond that is minor. Okay, so whether you speak in tongues or not, that doesn't break fellowship. You know? Whether you believe in the rapture or not, it doesn't break fellowship. Don't major on the minors. Don't get online and argue with people over stuff like that. Don't waste your time. Something's going to happen. Don't worry. Christ told us straight up, "I'm going to come back and get you." That's all we need to know. Come, Jesus. You know? Don't get caught up in all the other minutiae that some people really like to do. Right? They like to dissect things and this and that and the other. It's like, that's cool, I guess, if you want to waste your time, like, trying to come up with the day and the time Jesus is coming back, you know, dissecting Revelation to the nth degree, and it's happening tomorrow! You know? He said nobody would know the day or the time, but to be in watch, right? To keep our candles lit, that's what we do. Is stay locked in together, and we walk with Jesus, and we do life imperfectly, but we do it with intention to glorify God. Our best intentions are to glorify him with our lives. Verses 7 and 8. "But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people." Paul is quoting Psalm 68:18. And he moves from unity to uniqueness. We didn't earn these gifts we've been given, but we all have gifts. We all have something to give. That is from God. Your personality, the way you love, the way you talk, the way you engage with people is unique to you. And the different gifts are for different people in the body. There is diversity and individuality in unity. In the unity of the body, there is diversity And there is individuality here. Unity is not uniformity. And harmony is not sameness or the absence of variation. We are unique in the way we are different. And we each have, some of us have the same gifts, but we each have our own unique way of distributing those gifts. They're all from God. That's why that, see, we all matter here. Some of you won't preach from a pulpit. You're not called to do that. I have been. Praise the Lord. I told you, I'm super grateful. It keeps me in the word. It keeps me accountable. I love to do it. I love to preach. But you have yours. That could be generosity. It could be hospitality. It could be you're a prayer warrior. It could be that you're just an encourager. That's your gift. It's your wheelhouse. You love encouraging people. And guess what? Encouraging people is encouraging. Right? I love it when people go, hey man, I just want to encourage you that da 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 da. Thank you. Please don't ever take that for granted. Pastors need encouraging too. You know? But that's an important gift. You know? Prayer warriors. They need prayer. You know, and when you're asking somebody like in the middle of the gym or at work in the office and you go, hey, let me pray for you. And you begin to pray for them. Man, let me tell you what. Everybody's watching and it matters. And your bravery like that, I'm telling you, will pay dividends. And I mean like spiritual dividends. It breaks that what's it called? Taboo of, you don't want to offend anybody. Don't offend anybody in the office. You know what I'm saying? Like you just show that because love wins. You're not protesting anything. You see what I mean? You're praying for somebody. When you operate in love, you cannot come against it. You can't come against Jesus. You can't come against love. I mean, even if, let's just say, because there's persecution, I get it. Somebody does come against you. Well, what'd I do? Well, you prayed for them. Well, what's wrong with that? You see what I mean? Like, I'm loving on somebody. That's all I'm doing is trying to encourage them and have them have a better day. Encourage their faith that God's in control. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 20, Paul explains this a little bit more in detail. That we're all, we are one body, but we're unique in our gifts. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if an ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. That's why I say it's important that your authentic self, wherever you're at in Christ, That's where you're at. Don't pretend. Don't be embarrassed. Don't shrink back because, you know, I just don't know enough to share. Yes, you do. If you said yes to Jesus, you have something to give. You seriously do. And do it in an authentic way. Now, again, I encourage you, get the word of God in you. God will blow your mind when you start regurgitating scripture. You'll be like, whoa, that was good. You know, and you see that person's day change. You see that person's countenance change. They go from being absolutely defeated and hopeless to hope. Hope. Hopeful. That's why you're here, guys. It's life is more than working 40 hours a week paying bills. Amen. Because if it was, God, Lord, have mercy on us. We're to be good stewards. We're to work well, glorify God by blessing our bosses or our companies or our employees or our clients. But that's not what life's about. Life is about glorifying God. Whatever we do, it's about looking for opportunities to give. Whether that be time, talents, treasures, you know, an ear, a kind word. But to be intentional this year about making this world a better place while we're here. To be the light truly in a dark world. And like I said, you know, one of the things I would encourage you on is that you watch what you meditate on this year. I know that, see, and I'm never going to ask you to stick your head in the sand. Like, I know you want to know what's going on. I get it. But make sure that you feed your spirit, because you can't believe really anything that you see online anymore. It's hard to believe what's true and what's not true. Because let me tell you something. Since the beginning of time, the elite have done what they want and they don't get busted. Okay? It's just now we have more information. We're at our fingertips. The same thing is still going. And again, I get it. You know, I guess our right as Americans is to vote, and that's good. We should be aware of things for sure. But meditating on that stuff, I have found, just brings me anxiety. It causes me to hate others. And when I mean hate, I mean thinking bad about other people for the way that they view the world. And it's like, I can easily get caught up in that stuff. But God's called me to love. You know, I need to focus and never forget. And everything that you see online, I want you to do this. Maybe it's a good place to be. Maybe it's true. You know, I can store that in the back of my mind. But don't, there's, for us to go, this is the way it is. It's really a slippery slope, you guys, this day and age. You're going to say this is the way it is? This is the way it is. Amen? This is where we know from experience over thousands and thousands of years that this word is still alive. It's still active. It's still true. This is where we focus our time. We can know about things, but we feed our spirit and we stay in reality. That is this. Again, even if we are slave to a robot army, you have a purpose. There's a reason why you are here. God knew about the robots. Okay? You see what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't change your mission. It doesn't change our mission. Nothing out there changes our mission, and it's to glorify God, to build his kingdom, to make disciples, and to trust him. That should give you peace. Amen. 1 Peter 4:10-11 says this: each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. As faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. There it is. Whatever we do, let's glorify God. Let's go deeper this year together like never before. Being intentional about how we spend our time, about how we position our lives. Now, we have so much stuff going on. Yay. Because we were here to subdue this planet. Enjoy God and enjoy each other. Let's make sure we're doing that. We have a healthy balance of that in our lives. That we're enjoying this life that God's given us. That we're enjoying each other. We're enjoying the things that we do with him. He's invited, right? The things that we're doing, God's invited to that, right? If God's not invited, you shouldn't be doing it, right? Amen? But that we go into this year intentional. We are Christ followers. We are one body together. We're unique and we're authentic and we have a call on our lives. You think about that. I have a call on my life. I want you to say that to yourself. I have a call on my life. I have a reason why I'm here. There's a reason for the things that I'm going through. Because God is for me. And if God is for me, who could be against me? Amen? Amen. Well, I don't want to end this service without giving everybody an opportunity. And even for the people online. If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, today's the day. Or maybe you have before, but you know you haven't been living with him and for him and you'd like to rededicate your heart, I want to give you that opportunity. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you've never given your life to Jesus or you want to rededicate your heart today, I just want you to raise your hand. Amen. Amen. It's nothing to be scared of or ashamed. It's not the prayer that saves you. It's the God you're praying to that does. Church, will you pray this prayer with me? We'll do it together. Father God in heaven, thank you for your son Jesus. I'm a sinner and I need a savior. So I ask you, come into my heart, come into my life and change me. I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit and make your word come alive. I thank you for your forgiveness. I turn from my sin and I turn to you. Today, I am yours and you are mine. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Father God, shine your face upon your people. Lord, we thank you for all that you did in 2025. We are so excited for 2026. I pray your highest and best blessing over your people as we go into this new season. And may you be glorified by our lives, by our love, and just our love for one another. In Jesus' name, amen. See you next year. Love you guys.